Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Happy Easter, everyone. We're glad you're here. I'm asked to remind everybody to sign the friendship register found at the end of the pew so we can have a record of your having been here. I would also like to invite everybody for a time of fellowship in the Dunglinson Roberts Hall. If you don't know where that is, it's behind the altar here, and you just follow the people. They're going up. Wednesday night, we are having a barbecue dinner sponsored by membership committee and the deacons. Joel Debo will be sharing his musical talents with us. Please fill out the form in the bulletin right here or call the church by Tuesday to make reservations. And again, just a reminder that the session will be meeting this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Will the children please come forward? Thank you. Please join me in the responsive call to worship found in your bulletin. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to God. Christ is risen. Let us worship God. We'll worship God initially by singing the first and last stanzas of hymn 119, The Strife is O'er. Please join me in the Litany of Assurance. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with his Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. They put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, But God raised Jesus on the third day and made him manifest. And Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God. Amen. The children, please come forward for time for young disciples.
Good morning. Good morning. That's good. Happy Easter. I'm so glad to see all of y'all here today. Guess what? He is risen and he is alive. That is so right. Today, I'm going to read from our little devotional book that we've been doing for the past while. It's not actually today's date, but I thought it was kind of appropriate for today. It says, Jesus says, I did it all for you. In Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus says, I am all powerful. He wants you to know all of heaven and earth is at his command. And yet, Jesus gave up all of the glory and perfection of heaven to come to earth as a baby for you. He grew up here in the dust and sin of this world for you. He allowed himself to be beaten and then cruelly killed on a cross for you. He rose from the grave and defeated death and the devil for you. He did it all for you so that you could be forgiven for your sins and live forever with him. Jesus says, I gave everything for you. Don't hold back anything from me. Bring me your secret thoughts, your problems, and most of all, your heart. Come to me with a thankful heart, ready to learn and be changed. So as we go through the rest of this day, thinking about what Jesus has done for us, let us remember that he did it for us so that we can be with him in heaven. And he wants us to love him like he has loved us. And let's continue to think about this the rest of the week as we go home. All right, so let's go ahead and say a little prayer. How about we pray together? Can we do that? I'll say something, and then y'all repeat after me, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he was willing to die for us. But most of all, we thank you that he is risen and alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join me for the prayer for illumination found in our bulletin. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led into your truth and taught your will, that we may praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. I'll be reading from the NIV, the same Bible you have in your pews. Starting with verse 34, Peter says, the gospel says that Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen for us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. Thank you.
A happy Easter to all, and it is certainly our pleasure to have all of our wonderful musicians, those who are young and those who are more experienced, to sing for us, play for us. It's been marvelous so far, and it will continue to be. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the most wondrous story ever told. And for Luke, that is contained in chapter 24, the first 12 verses. Hear once again the word of God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. In some ways, we can identify with the women that Luke tells us approached the tomb on that day so long ago. They were doing what needed to be done to get Jesus' body ready for a proper burial. Every time we have a death in this congregation, I make three telephone calls. One goes to Vicky, one goes to Susan Mathena, and one goes to Jackson. After I have some idea of what a family would like in the way of services, I call or email them again, and the preparations begin. Susan sends out an email, and people begin to respond. Vicky emails folks to let them know what's happening, and Jackson does all those things that Jackson usually does. Meals are prepared or purchased, refreshments are arranged, visits are made, and gradually the modern process of honoring the deceased takes place. We have all too recently had to do that. The Marys, the Joannas, the other women, they were all preparing to do the same thing that morning. They were bringing the oils, getting ready to prepare the body. Now, in modern society, of course, we leave that part to the funeral home. But the preparations we make have almost the same kind of ritual aspect to them. Every church has them. Susan and others here, Marilyn and Carolyn in Buena Vista, Mary Alice in Waynesboro, Ann Long in Broadway. The names change, the process has evolved, but the purpose is the same. Except for on that day, it was different. Now we have four very different accounts of what happened. The number and stories of the witnesses vary. The number of women, the number of angels, the time of the tomb's opening, the appearance or absence of Jesus, the message entrusted, and all the points where the stories don't agree have led some to doubt that the resurrection ever occurred. But honestly, there never has been, there never will be, another such event ever experienced, and that The witnesses were a little foggy in their recollection, or the details may vary, is to be expected. But what has not changed after the initial shock is the testimony that we have already proclaimed this morning. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Whereas we were just beginning the drama of the Holy Week last Sunday, this Sunday we are celebrating the beginning of the rest of the story. It is a story that began that day, but it continues to this day. It will continue long after each of us have gathered this morning and have passed on to our eternal reward. Since that day, we have been able to proclaim that he lives. We also have had the gates of heaven open to us and salvation offered to us if we believe. The love of God has become unmistakably apparent in a world lost in grief. Those women were gathered at the tomb and they were prepared to do their thing. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, the other unnamed women were going to do what needed to be done regardless of their own loss, regardless of the sorrow they felt. They pushed through. They kept going. They cared for others. They showed up again and again. They were the type of women that polished the silver, that put the linen cloth on the table. They take home the napkins, they wash and return them, even though no one notices. They procure, they prepare the spices, they get up at dawn and head to the tomb. The 11 were hiding away in shock, but the women did the work that death and love required of them. But then I think of this Sunday and the story we just read. This Sunday, of all Sundays, is about the power of God, the promises of God, the victory of God, the saving grace of God. This Sunday is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the defeat of death and sin, the glorious revelation that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, just as he said. I know today is the day when we shout hallelujah. Today we wear is the day we decorate the sanctuary with these beautiful lilies. We break out our finest clothes. Some of us wear outrageous hats, and we hear the trumpets ramp up the choir. Yes, because of all of this, we need this day. After last week, we need to bring on the joy, to bring on the hope, the celebration of life, the renewed belief in the power and possibility of our God. Let's listen once again to these faithful women who first did the work that love and faith required of them. Consider the faithful who prepared the spices, who got up before dawn, who went and anointed the body of the one that they had loved and lost. Remember for a moment the people of faith who tend to the details of death only to be overwhelmed with the reality they've seen. Or at least let their seemingly idle tale, the one the disciples did not believe, propel us to go and find out for ourselves what God has done. That is part of what Easter Sunday is all about. Listening to those who know what it is like to dutifully do what love demands, no matter their own burdens, no matter their own losses. And who in doing so, we encounter angels. We experience evidence of their resurrection of Jesus Christ. We become witnesses. Easter points us to the people of faith who have been perplexed, who have been terrified and yet remembered what Jesus taught and told to the others. Every week, or at least most weeks, We stand and we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We may not exactly be sure what that means. Nonetheless, we affirm our belief in its truth, trusting the goodness of God to bring it about in somehow a synonymous way to this Easter story. We trust the grace of God. We remember the promise of Jesus that goes to prepare a place for us. We know that because of Jesus' resurrection, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. But here and now, in this world of deep sorrow, in this world of painful loss, a lot of death, and far too much fear, we need the witness of those who tend to the details that love requires. Jill Duffield put it well when she wrote, as people of faith, we show up quietly, persistently, and hopefully our actions are extensions of our prayers. We prepare the spices and the chicken salad. We go to the tomb and attend the funeral too. We visit shut-ins who will not remember that we have come. We make sure there's a pitcher of cold water and some cups and a box of tissues in the parlor for the family. We turn on the lights. We check the sound system in the sanctuary. We sweep the front steps and mark parking spots for the visitors. We do the work love requires, regardless of the circumstances that make that work necessary, despite our own fatigue or our own pain or our own sorrow. We do all of this because that is exactly what Christ has done for us. We need to remember the rest of the story. We need to remember all Jesus taught, the words of solace, the hope seen in his tears. We need to hear the extraordinary stories of the angels, the new life that seemed at times an idle tale. But compel us to go see for ourselves if what has been said might be true. We need to spend time with the stalwart people of the faith who cut crusts off small sandwiches, who write notes of encouragement, who visit the imprisoned and tend the sick and know by heart the teachings of Jesus. We need to be with those whose lives who live Jesus' commandments and remind us to do likewise. This Easter, let us shout to the world, Christ is risen. And unearth the alleluias. Let us smell the lilies and hear the choir's glorious descants. Let us hear the clarion call of the trumpets and rejoice in friends and family we may not have seen for a while, and proclaim the mighty power of God, the one who loves us so much that Jesus became incarnate, healed and preached and taught, was crucified, dead and buried, only to be raised from the dead in order that we might be forgiven, freed, and reconciled. Let us hear the rest of the story that began with those hardworking disciples, both men and women, who discovered in all their perplexity and terror that all that the Savior taught was, is, and forever will be trustworthy and true. And let us emulate them so that others might be compelled to run to the tomb, to find it empty this Easter Sunday, and be amazed. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith using our Apostles' Creed found in your bulletin, or found in the aids to worship. Let us affirm together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, the third into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. We come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at this glorious table prepared for us, that we remember all the events of this week that culminate in the glorious resurrection, and we celebrate his crucifixion as well. We invite all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to join with us as we celebrate this holy feast. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. At your word, the earth was made and spun on its courses among the planets. Your hand formed us from the dust of the earth, and set us among all your creatures to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful to you, you kept faith with us. Your love remained steadfast. When we were slaves in Egypt, you broke the bonds of our oppressors, brought us through the sea to the freedom, and made covenant to be our God. By the pillars of fire, you led us through the desert, to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. You spoke of love and justice in the prophets, and in the Word made flesh you lived among us, manifesting your glory. He died that we might live, and is risen to raise us to new life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the angels and archangels and with the faithful of every time and every place, who forever sing in the glory of your name, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. The one who was dead now lives. The one who humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation, the Lamb upon the throne. The one who ascended on high is always with us, as he promised. Lord God, we gather around this table, but there are some who have special needs that we wish you to hear. We lift up those mentioned in our bulletin and so many others. We lift up those who are victims of violence throughout this world, in Sri Lanka, in Togo, in so many other places, Lord. We need peace. We need justice. We need a place where people can live together and rejoice in you. Bring about that peace. Be with those who have various medical needs or who need guidance and strength. We lift up to you today Brian and Claudine. We lift up Ruth. We lift up Amy, Lisa, Will, and Joseph. Lord, hear our prayers for Charles and Liv, for Matthew, Diane, Fred, Carolyn, Martha Jo, Greg, and Bobby. Hear our prayers for Lisa, for Gail, for Laura, for Beth and Bill, for Dana, for Sally, for Meg. Hear our prayers for Friel, for John, for Ella and Joan. Lord, we continue to pray for Deborah, for Jim, for Leslie, for Nolte. Hear our prayers for Bill and Ann, for Dave, and for all those concerns that wish to be unnamed. Continue to be with our PNC and be with those who are on the mend. We give you thanks for James Jr. and James Sr., for Helen, for Willem, and for all of our service personnel and our first responders who protect our freedoms, who bring safety to our communities. Guide them and bring them safety as well as they put themselves in harm's way. Lord, hear our prayers and bind us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. On the night of Jesus' arrest, he took the bread, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. Remembering your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine from the gifts that you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified, and especially today, risen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. For great is the mystery of faith, that Christ is died and that Christ is risen. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, will the deacons come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we have so much to be thankful for your Son Jesus, who on this day rose from the dead to conquer all death, to give us life eternal, and to instill in us the love of your dear name. It is in that love, Lord, that we return our tithes and offerings, that we offer up what a part of what we have. Guide us in their use. Direct us in their purpose and give us the ability to share your love and show your love through these gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is number 122. Thine is the glory. The congregation will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4, and the choir sings stanza 3.